Shortly after his lopsided victory in 1996, Bill Clinton became obsessed with his place in history. He began consulting scholars and studying lists of great presidents to see whether his own name would be placed among them. That seems unlikely now. Instead, the first Democrat since Franklin Roosevelt to serve two full terms in office will probably be remembered as a president who might have been great if he hadn't squandered his advantages. His bumpy start notwithstanding, Clinton presided over an era of remarkable peace and prosperity, including the longest peacetime expansion in American economic history, and his accomplishments are all well known. The federal budget boasts a surplus for the first time in memory. There's some peace in Haiti and Bosnia, and more hope than ever in Northern Ireland and the Middle East. All these accomplishments Clinton achieved with his trademark blend of charm and hands-on policy management. Remarkably, he was both an accomplished backslapper and a genuine policy wonk who could recite details with the best of them. His administration quickly became a model for European leaders who wanted a third way between the bloated welfare state and the harshness of unfettered capitalism. Yet no consideration of his presidency can ignore the stain of his impeachment. The target of a vast right-wing conspiracy or not, Clinton made a pointed public statement regarding his sexual relationship with a staff member, and most Americans now consider that statement an intentional lie designed to mislead them. So why did those same Americans want to keep him in office? The answer is, and has always been, that they thought he was doing a good job with the economy. And during a period of prosperity, that's all Americans want from a president, to keep the ship of state moving smoothly ahead. Don't challenge us, don't lecture us, just drive the boat. And Clinton did just that, skillfully using polls as his navigation charts. Moral leadership was neither required, nor requested, nor achieved.